Welcome, everyone, to this special service. It's a joyful time to see those that are the growth in the church and the need for another labor, another one that is called by God to proclaim the word. It's a beautiful thing. And my mind went to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. It's when Isaiah had a vision and was commissioned to preach the word. Verse 5 says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Brent, that's the devil was out to intimidate. The devil's out to destroy. He likes to take us on guilt trips. He likes to say, "You're not able." And that's right. On our own strength, we're not able. It's because of God and the work of the blood that was shed on Calvary that we have a message to proclaim. You know, I was thinking of the ordination coming up and the choosing of another minister. My mind went to we live on a farm, and there's a fairly busy railroad that goes through the middle of the farm, and so we watch trains as we go through the day, and that's been a number of years ago. It used to always be they'd stack engines on the front, and then each coupler had just a little bit of slack, and when that train would stop, it just boom, 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 boom. The cars just all slam into each other, and it'd stop. And then when it'd take off, same thing. Just it'd pull the slack all out. But that's the only way them engines could pull it, was because of that little bit of slack. It would just add in one car at a time, and then once it got it going, it could get momentum. Here, several years ago, they started, there was engines in the middle or engines on the back. And that slack was gone. It was a tight train. And they could pull longer trains. They could be more efficient with trains, because when they had that long train and all that slack in the couplers, the first third of the train was at high risk of them couplers breaking because of the strain. And going around curves with having engines just pulling at the front, it would be hard on it. It'd wear the edges of the wheels off. And I'm guessing Terry and Laverne and Marcus, they need that other engine in the middle. No, we can't do it on our own. It takes a team. It takes everybody. So that's my prayer for the church here, as another leader is added, that it could just be another engine placed in the train to just take the strain off of the rest of the train. Because, yes, it takes time. But there's a blessing. There's a blessing in serving. And Jesus says, let us deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. And then it also says that the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And the second is like unto it, that thou love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, there's a lot of people in this world that need love, and I just pray that we can, not just the one that will be newly ordained, but each of us, as we go about our week, as we go about our life, let's pay attention to those that are hurting, to those that need love, because I believe that's the call that God has designed for the church, is to be a light to a dark world. So for the order of the service, well, I'll have prayer, and then there'll be three songs. So why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Almighty loving Father in heaven, as we have gathered this evening, dear Lord, your will has been revealed. Dear Lord, and as the need for another leader has been made known, dear Lord, you have spoken through the voice of the church. Dear Lord, we just pray a blessing on the church and on Brent and his family as they endeavor to fill the calling that you've called them to. Dear Lord, we just pray for those that have part in the service tonight as they lead out in their places. Just pray that your name could be glorified. Dear Lord, that we could all be prodded on our journey of life as we endeavor to serve you. So, dear Lord, we just commit this service to you and pray your blessing on it. We just ask it all in your precious name we pray. Amen. So at this time, there'll be three songs.
Be silent, then. There are many
greetings to each one this evening in the precious name of Jesus. We're thankful for the presence of each one here. In behalf of our congregation here, we're thankful for your presence, your support, and your interest in the work here. It's meaningful. You know, as was mentioned, we came to this time with the realization of a need, and God has answered it, and we're thankful for that. We wish the blessing of the Lord to you, Brent, Brittany, Jesselyn, Landon, Kimbria, and Cameron. You know, there's a lot happened in the last few days here. But God bless you for your willingness. I'd like to look at a scripture this evening that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I think it just has a lot of nice thoughts and admonitions in regards to ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read verses 12 through 17. Second Corinthians 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The title or the thoughts that I'd like to think about this evening is Always Led in Triumph. Always Led in Triumph. You know, as we think of Paul's life, as we reflect on his ministry, his travels, his experiences in preaching the gospel, we could conclude just by looking at his circumstances that life probably seemed more like trouble rather than triumph. He made the statement he was in labors more abundant and stripes above measures, prisons more frequent, deaths often, 5 times, 40 stripes save one, and you know the list just goes on and on there in chapter 11. So obviously Paul's thought here, his vision, was not simply on the circumstances of life, but on the reality of the gospel message that he was carrying. And always, always, he found that he was led in triumph. You know, Paul in Romans 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul viewed his life as a life that was captured by Jesus Christ. Bound to him by the most sacred chain, bound to his conqueror, following his chariot through life. Doesn't that add meaning to life? All that I am, all that I have, is God's. I'm his servant. So the first thought or point that we want to think about a little bit here in this scripture is use all your strength. Use all your strength. The story is told of a young boy, that was trying his best to lift a heavy rock, and it was just more than he could lift, and he was trying and trying. And his father came up on this, and he asked his son, he said, are you using all your strength? And he said, yes, I am. And again, to prove it, he redoubled his effort, and he gave it all he had and tried to lift that rock, but it was to no avail. And his father went on to say, he said, you're not using all your strength. He said, I'm standing right here, and you have not asked me for help. Paul makes the statement here in verse 12 of what we've just read. He's preaching Christ's gospel. You know, God is in the business of building a very unique family. And that's a spiritual family. And our Father's standing right beside us. And he's waiting to help us. And only at that point can we be using all of our strength, when we've asked our Father to help us. And you know, the tendency that we as humans have is that we substitute something for that word strength. We use all of our influence at times. We use all of our position at times. That temptation is there. It's very real. And I thought of an interesting account in the Bible Jesus' mother and his own brothers tried that approach. Turn with me to Matthew 12. We'll look at a few verses there. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Verse 46 there, we notice that his mother and his brethren stood without, and they had a desire to speak to Jesus. They had a desire to have communication with Jesus, but they tried to have Jesus meet them at the point that they desired to be. Jesus was inside the house teaching, preaching, and it mentions specifically that they were outside, and they requested that Jesus come out and have a conversation with them. And it appears that they got a little bit impatient because there was someone else came to Jesus and made this publicly known in front of the whole audience that thy mother and thy brothers would like to see thee. Do you know who we are? We're his family. I'm his mother. We have a little bit of influence in this situation. We have a position here that we could be entitled to this conversation. And I just think there's a powerful message here in the response of Jesus. He simply stretched his hands toward or out across his disciples, it says. And so I think in order to be able to use all our strength means that we leave position and we leave influence outside. We need to come inside under the outstretched hand of Jesus. Underneath a place that's called discipleship, Jesus had his hands stretched out across his disciples. Underneath that place that's called discipleship and self-denial. And those verses that we read there in 2 Corinthians, I think Paul just has a very kind way of outlining how a minister can preach the gospel and use all his strength. Let's look at verse 17 there in that second chapter of 2 Corinthians. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That word corrupt would mean a peddler or to retail. We're not peddling personal ideas, personal opinions, personal agendas. But it says we're sincere. And that word sincerity gives the thought or the idea of a pure motive. I like the thought or I like the mind picture of a minister that has his motives. They're all shaken through. They're all rolled through God's sieve. And what comes through? What makes it through that sieve? is what we use and deal with. Those at that point are pure motives. And it says, as of God, in the sight of God, all this is in God's presence. We're aware of his presence. He's with us. And then it says, speak we Christ. You know, Brother Brent, you've been called by God. In 1 Peter 1, we read those words, he which called you is holy, so be ye holy. You know, that's a loving command from Almighty God. What father does not enjoy seeing his son imitating him? So may you go forth in confidence. I think that verse 17 there is maybe a formula that the Apostle Paul laid out, that we can find this thought of always being led in triumph. It's not without challenge. It's not without difficulty. We know that by observing the Paul's life, by observing the apostles' lives. But we've been given a time. We have time here on earth. We've been given the opportunity to live and a time to serve. And Jesus said we have to work while it's day. There's been those that have been before us that have been faithful. And the responsibilities are now on our generation. And so may we use all our strength. Ask our Father to help us, and we can be led in triumph. And then a second point, just briefly here, as we think of the title of, just again, always being led in triumph. Point number two is that we find help in simple duty. Verses 15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death and unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Does my life have the fragrance of Jesus Christ? You know, verse 15 mentions there, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Do I remind God of the Lord Jesus? That's quite a question. What a test of the simple duty of a Christian. Do I remind God of Jesus Christ? You know, there's two opposite responses to the same message. We find that laid out here. The message is spread to the saved and to the perishing. The word is preached. And we're either in one of two places in life. We're either dead in sin or we're dead unto sin. All humanity finds themselves in one of those two places. And this simple message either breathes life or death, as this scripture would outline to us here. And it all depends on our heart. You know, as we think of the sunshine, the very same sun that melts wax hardens clay. There's no difference in the sun. You know, back in the day when they used to put linens out to bleach them, the very same sun that bleached the linens would put a tan on the hands that hung them there. Those who have spiritual life, when the gospel message is preached, they're helped to a deeper, closer walk with the Lord. The scripture would say, from life unto life. And those who do not have spiritual life, they're driven further into sin if they continue to reject the message of Jesus. Death unto death, it says. So this call to a minister is is to share the good news of the gospel. God bless you, Brent, and your family as you go forth. We stand around you in support and love. And I'd like to close with just a little poem here. I do not ask for mighty words to leave the crowd impressed, but grant my life may ring so true, my neighbors shall be blessed. I do not ask for influence to sway the multitude. Give me a word in season for the soul in solitude. I do not ask to win the great. God grant that they may be saved. Give me the broken sinner, Lord, by Satan long enslaved. Though words of wisdom and of power rise easily to some, give me a simple message, Lord, that bids the sinner come. May God bless each one of us in this Christian endeavor. We can't recall yesterday. We can't go back and change anything. We can't live tomorrow. But we do have today here before us, and it's within our power to live it with eternity in view. And that's my prayer for each one of us. At this time, we have another song, A Charge to Keep I Have.
Greetings in Jesus' precious name. I too want to extend a warm welcome to each one that's here this evening. Thank you for being here. It's so meaningful, as Brother Laverne already mentioned. I appreciated the thoughts that were already shared, the thought of the helper train, helper engine in the train, helping pull the load. That's just yes, so true. And the thought of that Brother Laverne left that stayed with me, I guess, is the thought that the picture of the little boy giving it all he had, yet never asking his father for help. So we haven't really given it all we have if we haven't asked our Heavenly Father for help. One thing I thought about, The father didn't do it for the little boy. He helped him, but he didn't do it for him. And that's so true in our Christian life. Our father isn't, he's willing to help us, but he isn't going to do it for us. We need to put forth an effort ourselves, and with his help and by his grace, we can do it. And I just want to leave that thought with you, Brent, too, that our Heavenly Father, he isn't going to preach the sermons for you, but he will help you preach them and everything else that goes along with your call. So I would just say a hearty amen to what's been brought already, and thank you, brethren, for sharing. It's been said that there's two main reasons or two main things that will trigger an ordination like we're having this evening, or that will cause an ordination. The one has already been mentioned this evening. One is age. Church leaders age. With time, they come to the age where they ask for a helper, replacement, and that's biblical. That triggers an ordination. The other one is growth. It's been mentioned. Churches naturally, healthy churches, grow, and with that comes the need for more leaders in the church. And that's, I just thank the Lord, that's why we're here this evening. It's because of growth. God has been faithful. But we were reminded as a congregation, we were reminded this weekend that what true growth Jesus is really looking for, that God is really looking for in a church, and that is to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's true growth. And that's my prayer that, and I'm certain that each church family that's represented here, that is your goal. That is the growth that you are striving for. So may God bless you. I thought I'd read a few verses from Acts chapter 6. You can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Thought maybe I'd just give a little bit of a history or background to this ordination. Thinking of growth. As a leadership team here, we felt that there would be a room for another minister here, and so we presented that to the brotherhood and was well received. So we took the voice of the church. And we were given permission to move forward with an ordination. And that was probably, I don't know if it was a year and a half ago or so. It was a little while back. And we sat down and we set a date for May the 24th of 2026. Seemed like quite a ways out. But here we are this evening. One day at a time. And here we are. So, that's why we're here this evening. Acts chapter 6, we'll read the first 7 verses. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So here we find in the early church, there was a need for 7 men. And the church family there took their nominations, and 7 men were nominated. And that's where we're at this evening, at the church family. We needed one minister. And we gathered Friday evening, as a church family, and we took nominations, and the Lord saw fit that one man was nominated. And so we want to follow the biblical pattern laid out for us here, that when the number nominated is the same number as the number needed, then we move forward with ordination. So that's what we plan to do this evening. And we find here that it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So before they laid their hands on them, they prayed. So I thought maybe we should do likewise. Why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Kind Heavenly Father, we're here tonight because of your leading. Lord, you have been so faithful to us, and you have brought us to this place at this time for your purpose. Lord, we're here because of your church, and Lord, may you continue to build your church through us mortals here on earth. Lord, we just ask for your blessing and your hand of direction upon us. Just bless this ordination ceremony. Lord, just may your name be honored and glorified in all that is said and done here this tonight. Lord, may we just go forth from here renewed and inspired to be faithful to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this time we'll move forward with the ordination ceremony. Brother Brent, it has pleased the Lord through the church to call you to be a minister of the gospel. You may stand to answer these questions. Are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself up to the work of the Lord as a faithful minister of the word in His church? Do you promise herewith to give heed to all the doctrines of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and to preach and teach them together with the biblical teachings and forms of worship of the Mennonite Church, and to abide in them with unchanging fidelity unto the end? Are you willing to conduct the church or congregation of which ye shall have charge in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel and the counsels of the Church of Christ, subjecting yourself to other faithful leaders with whom you labor, and in all things show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord? This time we'll ask you to kneel. We'll ask Brother Morris and Dalton to come forward. Upon this confession, upon these promises that you have made before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and His church, charge and ordain you to preach the gospel in its purity, to warn the sinner, to admonish the unconverted to repent, to teach, instruct, comfort, and encourage the believers. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. Likewise, give heed unto yourself. Walk circumspectly. Study the word, meditate upon its precious precepts, pray without ceasing, and in all things seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue in these things, for in so doing you shall save yourself and those that hear you. Amen. This time we'll ask the congregation to stand and we will have a word of prayer. Kind Father in heaven, we pause here in your presence this evening. We're standing on holy ground. Lord, we've just witnessed and heard the vows of ordination. Lord, we just pray that you will enable Brother Brent to go forth as a minister of the gospel. Lord, give him wisdom in the times of uncertainty, and give him understanding as he studies the word. Lord, give him clarity of tongue as he preaches the word, and Lord, help him to be faithful in all his house. Lord, just enable him to go forth in the power and the spirit of Elijah. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening as we think of Brent and Brittany. Lord, with a special prayer for Brittany as she stands beside her husband, Brent, in his newly ordained office. Lord, just we trust that she would turn to you for strength and to be an understanding companion, to be with him through the joys and the trials of the ministry as they come. Lord, just give her strength to be with the children and to be a faithful woman in your sight. Lord, we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father in heaven, I pray now for the children, the family. Lord, the changes that are going to come into their home, and as the father takes the responsibility of the church, and Lord, we realize that the family will sometimes have to give up some of the things of what they have done in the past, and Lord, we just pray that they would be mindful of that, they would support their father as he takes on this responsibility. And Lord, they're can be such an encouragement and such a blessing to the to the parents. And Lord, as they give their lives to you, it can be such a tremendous testimony to not only just for the church here, but also into the community. And Lord, we pray also for the church family as they also manifest your love in their lives. And as the word is preached forth from the Brent's mouth, as he expounds your word from time to time, we just pray that each one would have open hearts and fertile soil in their lives, that in the end they can say, we're so glad we're a part of the family of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. May the Lord richly bless you in your new responsibilities to the church family here. If you can receive Brent and Brittany as their minister here, and if you're willing to be the Aaron and hers in their lives, you can make it known by standing to your feet. Thank you. You may be seated. This time we'll give our attention to Brother Delton Weaver for the message.
Good evening. I'd like to greet each one in Jesus' precious name as we think of this special service, as we think of the many thoughts that were already presented. I would say we've been well filled. Appreciate the many thoughts of the need of a helper in the church. And as I thought of that, there is a work to do. Jesus says there in to his disciples there in Matthew chapter 3, verses 37 and 38. Says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And we see that Terry had went across how the church decided that there was a need for another worker in the vineyard. So there is a work to do, and as I thought of a message, I wasn't I'd like to bring out a message that would incorporate all of us into this work. Because there is a work to do. In Christian service, there is no unemployment line. If you're thinking that there's going to be an unemployment line, I would suggest you turn to God's word and try to find where there is an unemployment line, because there isn't. There is a work to do. And God has enough work for everyone. No one should just be able to sit back and watch the others do the work. We are to be those that look for ways to help with the harvest. A harvest can be ruined by the lack of workers in a field full of fruit. Can go to waste when there are not enough people to pick the fruit. And the world is the harvest of God, where his love and his word are sown. Without followers of Jesus, the word is unspoken. And even the love of God is unrecognized if we don't do our work. Prayer can increase our desire to spread the word and love of Jesus in our immediate surroundings. So there is a work to do. As I thought of a scripture reading this evening, I thought of Ephesians 4, the first 16 verses. Ephesians 4, the first 16 verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul's writing here, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking in truth and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As I think of incorporating all of us into this message, maybe a title that we could think of is, How is Your Ministry? How is My Ministry? So I'm not talking about the four that are now in the leadership here. I'm talking about us individually also in our personal ministry. We see here in the first part of this scripture reading, Paul calls himself the prisoner of the Lord. Are we, and he is saying this in a good way. I have already thought of this as a prisoner being chained, maybe to a cell, but being literally chained to Jesus Christ in the Spirit. And I believe Paul was. And he asks that we walk worthy of the vocation, which is our calling, that we walk worthy of our calling to serve God's purpose in the world that we live in. And it goes on to say that for some of the attitudes that we are to have, we are to have the attitude of lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of bond in the bond of peace. And as that unity continues in one body, one spirit, and one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. So it talks about the importance of unity, and I believe that was shown in this congregation here as they took names. It was unified. And that is a blessing as we think of a church working together. It's so important to have that unity. And unity does not just happen on its own. It's something that we have to literally work at. And it is because of the sin nature, it doesn't happen on its own. And so it is a joy when a church works together in unity. We so often see when differences among people lead to division. But this happens too often in church settings, and it should not be so. But may God help us as we walk in unity with each other, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It goes on talking about the gifts that were distributed. And God, obviously, here has a team that he assigned to bring us to maturity and to bring us to Christ and to keep us on the straight and narrow path. We have the apostles and prophets through their writings. Evangelists, they teach us the value of soul winning. Pastors and teachers keep believers strong in the faith and remind us to be strong and encourage us. And these all were designed as a team and assigned to perfect and mature the saints, which is the body of Christ, the believers. So God's purpose to build It's God's purpose to build up the body of Christ, and that is brought out there in verse 12 of our reading there. So it says, for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As I read through this, and we see that there in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I'm going to use that term pastors this evening a few times. It's maybe in our settings we don't use that word as often when we think of the ministry. But tonight I believe I'm going to incorporate that, because as I think of my message and I say the word ministry, I would like to include all of us in, because we are part of that broad ministry. And when we think about pastors, we're maybe narrowing it down a little bit more to those in the leadership positions. So as we think of a pastor, it is an ordained spiritual leader who guides and oversees a Christian congregation. The word pastor is derived from the Latin word for shepherd, and we think of a pastor's primary duties include preaching sermons, teaching scripture, providing spiritual counseling, and ministering to the needs of the church community. And so as we think of God's purpose is to build up the body of Christ, and that verse 12 talks about, it brings out that word perfecting of the saints. Perfecting, to complete, to make whole, to lead to righteous, or make righteous, righteousness. And it is an ongoing work as we are being perfected in the work of God, all of us. So who is to do the work of the ministry? Now, again, ministry is including all of us. Who is to do the work of the ministry? And I believe that's brought out there in verse 12. It is for the perfecting of the saints. The saints are to do the work of the ministry as a body of believers. This church here has a ministry. As each one of you leave the congregation and head your separate ways this evening, you go to your respected homes. Tomorrow you may have a business, you may be interacting with other people. You have your own ministry as you leave this house of worship. And that is up to each one of us to carry that on. And as we think of that ministry in the broad term, it's the act of serving or tending to the needs of others. We serve. We tend to the needs of others. And the saints are those who have been born again, have called upon the name of Jesus, those that are a part of the church and are living their lives according to God's will and his word. So all believers are to do the work of this ministry. But how many churches reverse that divine plan? Too many. And the pastors end up doing the work of the ministry. The saints, they come in. They come to listen and are critical of the sermons from the pastor, may be critical of how he leads. Maybe there are congregations that seek to perfect the pastors to minister. Maybe there are congregations out there that try to mold their pastors into their liking. When that happens, pastors become men pleasers instead of pleasing God. Too many Christians are just spectators. And spectators are critical because they have no skin in the game. They're maybe in the unemployment line. I'm not much into sports, but I know enough that spectators are very critical of the players, especially when a player makes a mistake. Let's all be players as we think of being involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ. So what is the result as we think of this backward plan? When it is not done in God's way. Well, for one, the church can move at a snail's pace. And maybe it's hard to get things to happen. Growth is hindered. Members miss the blessing of ministry, of their own ministry. They miss the blessing of serving amongst themselves and in the community. It can be self-centered. It can stay within these four walls and never go on the outside. When the body is not busy, the church body, it creates busy bodies. That's why it's important that we get back to, or that we stick to, God's plan. That all believers are ministering and have a part in the ministry. What is the work of the ministry in verse 12? For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As we think of edifying, the ministry is a ministry that builds up the body of Christ. It is the ministry of each one of us is to build up the body of Christ. To edify is to build up. So as we think of each one of us in the ministry, are you a builder or are you a destroyer? Are you on the building crew or are you on the demolition crew? What are you doing to edify believers? What are you doing in your church body to build up other believers? Do you encourage your leaders Do you encourage your pastors? Do you encourage those that have oversight over you? Do you thank them for that message that you needed to hear? Do you thank them for the hours that are spent behind the scenes that not everyone is aware of? You know, a loving congregation that cares for its leaders can make a huge difference on how the leadership responds. And I am blessed to be part of a congregation that can tell me, thank you. And I believe there's other leaders in our congregation that can testify to the same. We don't need thanks to pat ourselves on the shoulder. But it is encouraging. And I trust you as a congregation have been doing that and will continue. And especially as we think of Brent being a new part of the team, that you encourage him. Sometimes it does seem a little bit on the thankless side, but it is encouraging when someone sends you a text and says that was just what I needed. Thank you. It's a way to encourage each other, to edify, to build. As we think of, again, the ministry, and that's including all of us, we are to care for the afflicted. All of us are. You know, there's maybe again, and sometimes it seems like everything is pushed on to the leadership team when there are many able-bodied ones in the congregation, and we should all do our part to lighten the load, as it was. As Carlton said, you know, engines in the middle to help push the load, we can all do our part to make the load lighter. So we are to care for the afflicted, those that are hurting. It's not just us in the leadership's job, but can we all pitch in and sometimes we as leadership don't always know of the need. But those in the congregation that know of the need, be of those that can reach out and care for the afflicted, those that are troubled. What a strength it can bring to the brotherhood when brothers can help brothers, when sisters can confide with sisters and help each other. Be of those that can comfort the sick and the sorrowing. Part of our ministry as a body of believers is to visit the fatherless and the widows. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We are to care for those that are less fortunate. And when we do that, it puts God's word into practice. It is a part of ministry. When we give with no hope of ever receiving anything back, in return. That is true ministry. That's serving God when we give with no hope of receiving something back. We should not be of those that give hoping to receive, but we give without give without measure. So we think of caring for each other. We think of the spirit, the physical needs of believers, and Paul there in Romans 12 verse 13 talks about distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. So, again, a part of our ministry can be looking amongst the community and being caring for the physical needs, helping someone with maybe a job that they can't physically do. It doesn't always have to be us as ministry to get something together. It's good when brotherhood can go ahead and get things together and do these things. Ministering to the poor saints. Sometimes there's financial needs. Can we be of those that can help? It can be a ministry if we can help and not expect to receive back. We think of the caring for the spiritual needs of believers. Can we look out for each other? Or does it always have to be the ministry that spots things? Or can we as a brotherhood, can part of our ministry include caring for the spiritual needs among our congregation? I've often thought of the many spiritual needs, and sometimes we seek outside help. It's often wondered me, have we tapped into the strength of the local brotherhood? In some of these situations, and I want to be cautious when I say that. But can we as believers help each other spiritually? The spiritual needs—it's part of our ministry. We need to be those that minister to those that are overtaken in a fault. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Do we practice Matthew 18? Is that part of our ministry? Or do we again make our leaders or go to our leaders with troubles? We think of our ministry It needs to be encouraging one to another. Again, building each other up, encouraging that we faint not by the wayside. Our ministry also is to evangelize. It's not just up to the leadership team to win souls to Christ, as each one of us has that opportunity to win souls to Christ as we go about our daily duties. We have a ministry, a work to do. So as we look at this ministry as in a body of believers, what happens when we do the work of the ministry as a body of believers, when we fulfill these duties to the best of our abilities with God's help? Going back to our scripture, verse 13, the church is unified. In verse 13 there, it says, till we all come in the unity of faith. It brings unity. Believers become Christ-like, little Christs. Says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We become Christ-like. We're actually acting out what we proclaim to be. It's faith with legs on it. It can move. It has an action. Another thing that can happen is we as a body of believers, we become solid in faith and in doctrine. In verse 14, says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. If we do our part in this ministry, it strengthens our faith. And it grounds us in God's word. It also protects the church from false teaching in verse 14. It says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When we participate in this great work ourselves, each one of us, we will know God's word. We are involved. And it is a protection. Another thing that can happen is love flows through all of our preaching and teaching in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. When we do the work of Christ, do the work of the church, when each one of us does his or her part in this ministry, there's love. There is a true love that flows. And it will be seen and felt by those around you. the last thing that happens is the church grows and it is known for fellowship and love. There in verse 16, from the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A church, if it's kept within these four walls, will not grow. But if each of one of us does our job in this ministry, the church will be known in the community for its fellowship, for its outreach, and for its love, for its compassion. And I believe that is the true message of Jesus Christ. So in closing, we need to stick to God's plan for his church. We need to maybe ask each one of us need to ask ourselves, how is my ministry? The leaders in a church are here to encourage, to feed the flock. But again, as we take it beyond these four walls, how is my ministry? How is your ministry? And the leaders, again, are here to perfect, to help, to grow the saints so that they can serve beyond these four walls. And a ministering church will reach its community for Christ. We are not here to only save ourselves, but we are to share the good news of the gospel to those around us. So may God bless each one of you, and especially you, Brent, in your new calling. And for you, as a congregation, encourage him. Encourage your other three leaders. Strengthen each other, so that the community will see where your heart is. May God bless. Shall we kneel for prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening's hour. We thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening, to encourage, to share, to see growth, to appoint new leadership. And Lord, we just pray a special blessing on Brent and Brittany and their family again as they go forth in their new calling. Lord, we just pray a special blessing upon the Careth Church here as they encourage Brent and Brittany and the family, as they encourage each other, Lord. Lord, as we think of ministry, that it's we would look at maybe ministry in a maybe different light, and that we would all employ ourselves in this ministry, as there is no unemployment line. Lord, help us to recognize the work that is to be done in the community and abroad. Lord, we thank you for those who have been serving you and for those that are examples. And Lord, help each one of us to realize the many needs that are out there. And as we think of growth, church growth and spiritual growth, that we need to be a part of this ministry. It is such a vital part that we serve where we can. Lord, we just again thank you for blessing each one of us. We just thank you, Lord, most of all for your son Jesus, what was done upon the cross, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you for the empty tomb, that we also can be risen from the dead and walk in newness of life through the shed blood that was shed for us on Calvary. Lord, we just thank you again for the heritage we have that was passed down to us. And Lord, we just pray that we could continue to pass down this torch of faith to the oncoming generations. And one way to do that is to ordain from time to time to keep the church alive. And Lord, we thank you for those men that are willing to serve. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we will sing the last song on the program there, Thine for Service.
I am not.
Thank you, Brother Dalton, for that message. How is my ministry tonight? You know, we were kindly taught. I was thinking of the... Well, am I on the demolition team or am I on the building crew? Am I a player or am I a spectator? You know, we've been given a lot of practical pointers on how we can be on the building team and how we can be a player, a team player, and in our ministry that we have here. I'll appreciate the emphasis that all of us are in the ministry in one way or another. All of us have a spot to play. It's not just Brent tonight. It's not just those that are called to lead. It's all of us. We have a ministry. And the beautiful part is that when we all do our part, there can be unity, there can be love, there can be growth in the church. And I know that is all of our desire, no matter where we are, to have that kind of a church. And we can, by the grace of God, as we, by His grace, we pay attention to our ministry. We can be builders and we can be players in the kingdom of God. So thank you, Dalton, for sharing tonight. I've asked Brother Marcus to come forward and share a testimony, so we'll ask him to come forward at this time and share a testimony.
Good evening. We greet you in Jesus' precious name. We welcome you in as church family and family and friends that have come this evening to be witnesses and encourage through the ordination service. May God bless you for being here. As many thoughts that were shared through the service, through the many services we've had leading up into tonight, through numerous qualification messages. And as we heard tonight, each one of us are called to ministry. And if you're like me, we've been challenged to reminded of what our calling is and what our responsibility is. And appreciate the brethren coming and sharing with us. To Brent and Brittany, God bless you for accepting the call. Your example of willingly stepping forth in a time of need. I believe many will look at your example in days to come. For the willing acceptance of the call that God has given you. Few verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, sometimes when we get called to the ministry, we feel that maybe it's our work and we have to perform. But we need that reminder that it's not our work, but it's God's work. That we are not to be ashamed of the testimony of this calling, but it's a holy calling. And it's something that He offers strength when we accept His plan and His will. And not our own. To the church family here, I believe each one of you have a desire to support and bless this calling. You know, in the message this morning, we heard of the gifts that each one of us have. And you may think that being called to the ministry, you know what your gift is. But sometimes, as ministry, struggle to know what some of their gifts are And I believe it's part of the responsibility of the brotherhood to encourage and point out those areas where they excel and build them up and encourage. And there's many ways that can be done. But we're human and we have weaknesses and we see where we fail, but sometimes we fail to see where we have a strength. So I encourage each one of you to point out the gifts that God has given the brethren that minister to you and build them up. As we heard in the message tonight, there's the brotherhood has an influence on each one's ministry. For myself, I thank God for his working through this past year up until tonight. Sometimes we ask why God chooses man to proclaim his gospel. As wretched and as unworthy as we are, God chooses man to preach and to share the gospel. Even though we don't always understand, we know God's plan is right and it's successful, and we just have to trust him. May God bless.
Thank you, Marcus, for sharing your testimony. Appreciate that. So just on behalf of Brent and Brittany and the church family here, I just want to say thank you to each one for being here tonight. Thank you for your support and your interest in the work of the church here. We'll be having a benediction here shortly, but after the benediction, anyone that's interested is welcome to file forward and greet Brent and Brittany. Give them any words of encouragement that you might have. So feel free to do that if you care to. File up the side aisle and across the front here and down the outside here. And those that are planning to travel home tonight, yeah, if you have a distance to go, come down the center aisle and merge into the line here and get on the road as quick as you can. So feel free to do that. Tonight it's not budging. It's just it's called merging. So anyone that's interested is welcome to come forward. Now, also, I have a little card here for Brent and Brittany and their family. If there's any ordained men here tonight that'd be interested in signing this card and leaving a note or whatever you feel led to, that'll be up here on the pulpit. Feel free to sign your name and whatever you feel led to, encouragement you feel led to give. So you're welcome to that as well. So let's stand for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence of glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Again, thank you for coming, and you can now consider yourselves dismissed.